Good evening. I hope you're well. Please join me in saying the Anabakoth. Anabakoth Gedula Chimincha Tati Terura Alephet Gimel Yud Tav Sadi. These six letters have a gematria of 506, which is the same gematria as the phrase Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. letters connects us to the energy consciousness known as Hod, the Sphira of Hod. And Hod comes from the Shoresh that relates to appreciation and thankfulness. What are you thankful for at this instant? Yachid ge'eh lamcha p'nei zokre kedushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. This sequence we utilize to help speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium. It's also the letters that we utilize during the month of Sivan to help control the negative aspect of Sivan. There are two letters, the Resh, which created the planet Mercury, and the Zion that created the constellation Tuomim, the twins, Gemini. Together, these two letters, Raz, spell a Hebrew word that means secret. The gematria of that word, this word, these two letters, is 207, which is the same gematria as the Hebrew word or, which means light. And the Kabbalists refer to Hashem with a code word, light, or. Because light in our physical world is the essence of sharing. We can take a candle and light many candles without diminishing at all the first candle. This is the essence of light. This is the essence of Hashem. This is what we are capable of during this month of Sivan. The idea of sharing between twins is the idea of unifying the spiritual and the physical. Shavatenu kabel ushma tziakatenu yodea kalumot shinkufav tzadiyotaf. These six letters is a sequence that we can utilize to help manifest our desires in a proper sharing way. Concealed within these six letters is the concept of perfection and the concept of ahavat hinam, unconditional love. Shavatenu kabel, now we said that. Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Le'elam Vayet. The last verse is said silently in a whisper. I'm now going to read from the Zohar, from the portion of Shlach Lecha, section 12. This world is similar to those above. I'm reading verse 86. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei adenu kudenei aleinu maasei adenu kudeneihu. Tachatzi kad barakhu tshavarichu. Alma Ashra Leyama de Okyanus De Askar Kol Yeshuva De Alma Veyeshuva De Kol Shavinu Min Kola Askar Lerushalem, Lerushalem, Be'em Saita Dekol Yeshuva Sharia. Come and see, when the Holy One, blessed be He, created the world, He installed the ocean that surrounds the whole inhabitable world, and the settlement of all 70 nations surrounding Jerusalem. Jerusalem is situated at the center of all this settled area, and it surrounds the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount surrounds all the temple courts of Israel, and these temple courts encircle the temple treasuries for congregational sacrifices. Meaning to say, in terms of importance, which compartments also include the seat of the High Court of the Sanhedrin? We have learned that there were no seating privileges in these temple courts, with the exception made to the kings of the House of David. In spite of all these, they surrounded the temple treasuries, where the seat of the Sanhedrin abides. And he counts here seven aspects, one more important than the one before, in parallel with the seven Sefirot. Without Rabbi Ashlag's commentary, we really wouldn't have any understanding of what the depth of this verse is. In our world, the seven lower Sefirot constantly manifest with seven seas that started as one, with seven continents that started as one, with 70 nations that started as one man and woman, Adam and Chava. In the Torah, it doesn't say put the temple in Jerusalem. It says put the temple where I will show you. And the reason being is wherever Hashem has decided to put the temple, that will be the energy center of the world. Was it always there? There are other places in the world that are energy centers for the various Sefirot, for the various nations, for all of these different concepts. But everything is related always to the seven lower Sefirot, or to the ten Sefirot within the seven lower Sefirot, which relates to the 70 nations. The role of the children of Israel is to bring balance between the right and the left that these 70 nations relate to. And all of that is what's revealed in this verse, among much, much more. Before I start with tonight's mitzvah, which is going to be extremely unusual, does anybody have any questions? Okay. The mitzvah that we are saying tonight is mitzvah number 9. It states in the list of the Rambam, paraphrased in English, to listen to the prophet, excuse me, that was last week. It's actually mitzvah number 10. Not to test the prophet unduly. This mitzvah, which appears really somewhat straightforward, appears from the source verse of Deuteronomy, Devarim, chapter 6, verse 16. And it is to apply, like last week's, talking about the prophet, only in temple times, which I disagree with, and we will talk about that. In all places, all throughout the world, or wherever we are in outer space, and all peoples. Not just men, not just women, not just adults, all people. Does it apply to a child? We don't think children are at the level to comprehend this. And so it doesn't apply to children until they are able to understand it. And for the most part, the depths of the mitzvot are not understood until a child reaches the age of 12 for a girl or 13 for a boy. But that has a whole different spiritual level dealing with when the ruach level of consciousness is initially able to enter the body and connect to the nefesh level of consciousness that entered the body at the age of birth or before. So let us look at verse 16. Did I misread that? It's chapter 6, verse 16. And the English translation from the Stone edition of the Chumash is, "You shall not test your Hashem your God as you tested him at Massa." Now let's read the Hebrew, looking at Tet Zion. "Lo tenasu et Hashem Elohechem ka'asher nisitem b'masa." What does not testing Hashem have to do with not testing the prophet too much? And what is Masa? What is that whole issue of, like, you tested him at Masa? So to begin to understand this concept, we go to the sages in the Talmud, and they explain, as an oral tradition, that not to test Hashem means not to test his prophet. And that's where we get the list from the Rambam, not to test his prophet. It comes from the Talmud. Now, it is truly difficult for people who study, who ask questions, to understand how we have the written Torah and the oral Torah in our historical time frame. They seem to have been given at different times. Historically, the academic teach us that the Torah was written over a few centuries by people. That's not what the Orthodox movement teaches, but it is what the Reform and the Reform movement and some of the other newer movements within Judaism teach. That since it was written by men, and men today are just as spiritually capable as men in the past, we appreciate their efforts, but we have the choice just as they did. That is the teaching of the Reform movement. It is not my personal belief system. Let me restate that. It is not my personal knowledge system. What the Orthodox teach is there is a creator who created. And at the moment of creation, he established spiritual laws which potentially have within them potential manifestation of natural physical laws. And everything was created at the moment of creation, which science calls the Big Bang. Now, our Torah starts with the word Bereshit, in a beginning. It also, because there are no vowels, could be Bahareshit or Bareshit, which means in the beginning. And that leads to a lot of confusion because there's multiple beginnings. Every instant, Hashem recreates the world. From one instance to the next, we cannot know whether there's continuity, because he could place within our memories the image of continuity when it really didn't exist. We have no way of knowing, except that our trust in Hashem. Why would he do that? So, ultimately, creation happened. The Big Bang relates to our word Bereshit, in a beginning, the beginning of the physical world, the process of creation. Continues. It's called evolution in some sense, but there's different meanings to the word evolution. The major difference between the teachings of the Kabbalists and the teachings of the religionists the teachings of the Kabbalists and the teachings of the science as of today, science teaches that evolution started with one cell and evolved up to man. And the Kabbalists teach that evolution started with man and evolved down, that we fall spiritually and also physically, and that all of these items that were created, all of these species that were created as part of this process. But ultimately, we are to evolve up to a higher level of consciousness where we will no longer need our body to manifest our desires. We will be able to clothe ourselves in other bodies. But I'm getting away from the point of this discussion, this mitzvah. The mitzvah is not to test Hashem. And the oral law, which came at the moment of creation along with the written Torah, says, do not test the prophet too much. Now let's delve a little bit into what this idea of masa is. And to do that, we need to turn to Exodus chapter 17, verse 7. So give me a moment to get to there in the Chumash. He called the place Massa Umeribah because of the contention of the children of Israel and because their test of Hashem, saying, is Hashem among us or not? Now this is a similar wording to our words in this week's parasha, Shlach Lecha, where Moses instructs the tourists / spies, he instructs them to look for a tree, not trees, a tree, singular. He instructs them to look for a tree and bring him back word if the tree is there or ein, the Hebrew word nothingness, which is being translated into English as not. That same word is used in this verse in Exodus. Is Hashem among us or not? Is Hashem among us or ein? Nothingness. The essence of this mitzvah is to recognize that there is a creator. The essence of this mitzvah is to recognize that there is an oral tradition, an oral law. And many times in the oral law there is a mechlochet, a disagreement for the sake of heaven, is the way it's translated. It's not a meribah, or merivah. It's not a strife. During the desert, there were many times when there was strife among the children of Israel. There were arguments. But if the argument is not for the sake of heaven, the argument is a selfish argument. I want to be known as the person who is right. I want to be right. Then that person is not doing a mechlochet. He is doing a merivah. Not to test the prophet too much, which is what our sages tell us is the meaning of not to test Hashem, comes from the fact there is this direct link between Hashem and the prophet. The descriptions in the oral law, in the Talmud, of the development of prophets, the education of prophets, the experience of prophet, they're very clear, although most people in our generation don't read them. It's not clear in the Chumash or the Tanakh, but it is in the Talmud. It describes people falling on the ground, twitching like an epileptic, like a seizure, being so overwhelmed by the consciousness within them, they speak in voices that are not their own. They speak as if possessed. They don't remember frequently what they said when they do come out of the seizure. I don't mean to use seizure, I just don't have another English word. The prophet trained all of his life to be a prophet. He went to prophet school. Our society sends our children to university. The society sent children to prophet school. Learn how to be a prophet. Establish your body and your soul capable, cleanliness, clean enough, pure enough to receive Hashem in your heart. And then, if Hashem felt that you were appropriate to pass his message to the people, he would give you that message directly. Hashem spoke to you. Hashem spoke to the prophet Moshe directly, face to face. He would talk as if they were having a conversation, just like you and I are right now. I'm speaking, you're listening. When you want to ask a question, you speak up. Most of the prophets did not receive the message that clearly. Some saw the message in a pictorial vision, like a dream, but not a dream. Sometimes it was in the daytime. But even when it was at night, that level of consciousness of sight is considered a higher level than those who heard sounds, heard a voice. And there are many, many levels within each of those categories. And all of those categories are really one aspect, because Moshe saw the sights and the sounds concurrently. We think of Moshe speaking to God with words, and he did. At the same time, he received a picture. These are different uses of our senses. And we learn in Kabbalah that our senses are corrupted. What do I mean by corrupted? Well, your eye doesn't see the world correctly. Your eye sees the world upside down. And in the Talmud, we have a metaphor between a father and a son, the son explaining his dream to his father, who said, when the father asked him, "What did you see in your dream, son?" The son answered, "I saw a world that was upside down." And the father answered, "No, my son, you saw the world as it should be." Let me give you some additional information. The son said, "I saw the world upside down. I saw important people in this world being low people in the upper world. I saw low people in this world being the most important people in that world." And his father said, "No, my son, you saw the world correctly. We're the ones living in the upside-down world. Our eyes see upside down. The light from the top of an object comes into the bottom of our eye. The light from the bottom of the object comes into our top of our eye. We see upside down. It is our minds, our brains, that convert that image from the retina to right side up in this physical world. But the truth is, before the interpretation of transforming from upside down to right side up, we are seeing the world as it truly is, because our physical world is upside down. Do not test Hashem as you did at Massa and Meriva. Do not ask if the world is created by Hashem or by chance, which is another deeper understanding from the Kabbalists about the word Ein. We all are going to return to a condition, a consciousness, a place, probably not physical, or maybe it is physical, a place called En Sof. En means without, Sof means end, without end, without limitation, with the totality of the vessel being in unity with the totality of the Creator. The fulfillment and the lack being in unity, so there cannot be lack. And there cannot be fulfillment. There is just unity. This is the place of En Sof. This is the place when we speak of in, without, nothingness. We come to understand there is a Creator who wants us to be a Creator. And He created the playground called Earth. He created the playground called this universe for His children to grow to a level of consciousness of being creators. Creators consciously. There was a Star Trek program in the 70s on television, still has reruns today. But there was one Star Trek in which a godlike being put control over the adults of the Enterprise, the captain and Spock and so forth. And the idea was this was his playground. His parents gave him this world to learn to be a creator. And of course he abused his creations. He brought the adults, Spock and so forth, into this created place where he abused them. Because ultimate power corrupts ultimately, as the famous statement goes. How can we learn to be a creator? This is what this world is about. Learning to be a creator without abusing our creations. We all know about the stress in Palestine and Israel. We all know about the stress in the Gulf of Mexico. We all know about the stress over Europe. This is the beginning, unless we change. It's actually not the beginning, it's the continuing. But it has never happened that all parts of the world are in the stress, all at the same time. How does someone handle the stress? By remembering not to test Hashem. By remembering there is a creator who wants us to become creators. He wants us to become co-creators, actually. Let's understand what the name Masa means. There is a verse in Psalms, chapter 95, verse 8. So again, please give me a second to get there. Verse 8, chapter 95, verse 8. Do not harden your heart as at Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the wilderness. Verse 9 continues, when your ancestors tried me, they tested me, though they had seen my deed. One deed? Doesn't Hashem do many deeds? Oh, there were 10 plagues or where there was one plague in Egypt. There are 10 Sephirot or there is one Sephirot. There's 7 continents and 7 seas, or one continent and one sea. What is your vision? What is your world? Is it upside down or right side up? Masa is this place. Masa is this consciousness. Meribah is strife, also a place that is named strife, conflict, argument. But argument is good. Do not test Hashem. Argue with Hashem for seeking of truth. And truth is not being correct. truth is not being the person who's right. Do not do Lashon Hara. But I'm only telling the truth. Aren't I supposed to be able to tell the truth? Truth can never create separation. Therefore, what you call truth is not truth, if it's done with the consciousness that you want to be better than the person you're speaking about. What a beautiful dress you have on. The classic truthful statement that is considered Lashon Hara. Because the reason you're saying it is satirical. You want to be better than the person wearing the beautiful dress. You want to have the beautiful dress, so your jealousy is stealing that energy. You're telling the truth. I think it's a beautiful dress, but not for a beautiful consciousness, not for a beautiful reason, for an ugly reason, with an ugly consciousness. Do not test Hashem. Do not see if he is here or ain. Know that the world was created by a creator. Does that mean that Hashem doesn't like atheists and the other level, that the people who are not sure, the people from Missouri, as the English phrase would express it, the people who must see the world in its upside-down state in order to then say this is the truth? But be the person who does not have to see the upside-down world to know the truth. The truth of Hashem's love. Hashem does not care if you're an atheist. Hashem does not care if you're agnostic, not sure if he exists. That's not what this is saying. It's saying, do not test him. Do not try to prove to yourself his existence. Because his existence can never be proved physically. It can only be proved consciously. Ultimately, it can be only be proven through your personal experience of speaking to Hashem. If that means that in your meditation you travel away from the physical world and meet entities that put on clothing of various peoples or non-peoples, or if you're speaking to yourself and listening to that still small voice within you, the one that we all hear but don't want to, so we ignore, or the one that we say we don't hear because we have veiled it, prove to yourself through your own experience of communicating with Hashem what you are to do in this world. Do not test Hashem. Do not test his prophet, which is you. Each and every human being is a prophet to himself. Some in the spiritual world will be prophets to others. This is what I think, and therefore we should do this. Is that consciousness of that statement to be unified or to create separation? Rabbi Rosenberg speaks about being a teacher within a community of teachers, within a community. He speaks of being a leader from the place of a follower. It is extremely difficult to understand what he is saying at this level. The words don't make sense. How can I be a leader if I'm a follower? Remember the words of the Torah three different times in the book of Judges. Every man does what was straight, translated as good, in his eyes. Every man does what he thinks is correct. Do not test Hashem. Do what is good in your eyes. And the only good in all of the worlds is Hashem and his path for you, which he is telling you right now, but you're not listening. How do I know you're not listening? Because I'm not listening. I'm speaking to you as a leader among a group of followers. Please lead me. Bring us to the right side up world. The way to the right side up world, it begins with understanding. Do not test Hashem. If he is among us or in, without. Understand what I have said, not as a student, but as a teacher of others. A teacher of others from the community that you are. Do not be a leader, be a follower. It's the only way you can be a teacher. Does anyone have any questions? I bid you good night. I will speak now about tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Los Angeles time. We will be speaking a Zohar class. Next week, Tuesday, I do not plan to have a class because I am physically moving from the Los Angeles area, preparing for my classes in San Francisco, San Diego, and in New Mexico during the summer. So next Tuesday, we will not have class. Next Wednesday, look for the announcement because it'll depend on my timing. And Thursday, for sure, we will have class, which will be the Zohar class. Does anybody have any questions before I bid you shalom?